Please go ahead. This morning's conference call is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the PPSAI Working Group call on the 8th of April, 2014. On the call today, we have Libby Bainey, Graham Bunton, Holly Raich, Steve Medalist, Valeria Sherman, Darcy Southwell, Sarah Wild, Tim Ruiz, Steve Medalist, Justin Macy, Alex Deacon, Christina Rosette, Osvaldo Nolava, Don Moody, Roy Belize, Jim Bykoff, and Kathy Kleiman. We have apologies from Carlton Samuels, Susan Prosser, Maria Farrell, and Paul McGrady. From staff, we have Mike Zupke, Marika Konings, Amy Bivens, Mary Wong, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name for transcription purposes before speaking. Thank you very much, and over to you, Graham.
Thank you. This is Graham Bunton speaking, and I'll just reiterate what I was saying for everyone who's joined. Don's not with us today, so it's up to Steve and I to carry us through today's discussion. I think there's going to be a gentle change to our agenda in that I think we're probably not going to spend too much time on Category B Question 2, but instead try and move on to Category B Question 3. But I thought I'd start it off with a brief recap of the Singapore meeting and what happened there for those of you who couldn't join us. It was good. We opened up the floor to the expert working group survey results, and I believe that was Margie from ICANN who talked us through it. I would encourage the group or every individual within this group to go and read through that summary. I think it was pretty interesting. What it highlighted for me, and others are welcome to comment here, is that there was, not a lot of responses. There were only 11 that went through the whole thing. But within those 11, there was an awful lot of variety displayed within those responses. So it, to me, seemed difficult to draw any sort of generalizations from that survey, aside from there is a whole lot of different implementations going on. So again, maybe I'll see if I can post a link into the chat, but I would encourage people to read that. Moving on from the survey update, we then sort of got into a discussion around the scope of what it is to be a privacy and proxy service, and that was an entertaining and lively discussion. And one I think we need to have more of as a group, but we'll probably park that for a little bit and work it into a schedule, because I think it's an important discussion and one we haven't really had yet aside from that one meeting. So we'll get there in the near future, but I'll sort of discuss that, I guess, with Steve and Don about when we want to put that on the table. If someone else has an opinion on that, feel free to share it. And that leads us now into where we were on Category B, Question 2. And so I spent some time last night going through that discussion that we were having and going through the notes, and I think, and we'll open this up for discussion in just a moment, where I think we got to around that was that there was a reasonable amount of discussion had, and there were certainly some differing opinions. We've sort of got a preliminary, I'm not going to call it consensus, but a preliminary idea that there, the 2013 RIA requirements should be used, but there was some substantial disagreement there. I think what we've decided to do is that we're going to make note of that disagreement, and we're going to move on. With that footnote that we may need to come back and readdress this issue of what would be the checks beyond the 2013 RIA. Steve's raising his hand. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Graham. I agree with that approach. I think we should, on our preliminary conclusion, note that there was support for additional steps. A lot of it having to do with how this ties into reveal or publish standards once those are worked up. So I'm comfortable. I'm not sure we have a lot to gain from further discussion on this issue at this point, but I do think we'll be coming back to it. So I support that approach. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Anybody else have any thoughts on moving past Category B question two for the moment? I can see people are typing in the chat, so maybe I'll give that just a sec. No hands. Okay, so I think then what we're going to do is move on to Category B, question three. Rapidly moving through the topics this morning. So let's, Marika, if you would be so kind, give us an introduction to where we're at on Category B, question three, please.
Sure, Graham, thanks. So this is Marika. So question three basically reads, what rights and responsibilities should domain name registrants that use privacy proxy services have? What obligations should ICANN accredited privacy proxy service providers have in managing these rights and responsibilities? And clarify how transfers, renewals, and PEDNR post-expiration domain name recovery policy should apply. I think we probably have here two separate questions that we may need to want to look at. So the first question really relating to what rights and responsibilities should there be for both registrants as well as privacy proxy service providers. And I think the separate question relates to how do these rights and responsibilities interlink with existing ICANN consensus policies, such as those that relate to transfers, renewals. What we've done in the template basically is first of all provide the links to the existing some of the existing policies that were mentioned here, so the transfer policy, as well as what is now called the expired registration recovery policy. And there may be other policies that we may need to think about. So, again, I think that's something to keep in mind for working group members. Then included some of the relevant information from some of the other documents that we've been looking at, such as the WHOIS review team final report, which notes that ICANN should ensure that the requirements for accurate WHOIS data are widely and proactively communicated, including to current and prospective registrants, and should use all means available to progress WHOIS accuracy, including any internationalized WHOIS data, as an organizational objective. As part of this effort, ICANN should ensure that its registrant rights and responsibility document is proactively and prominently circulated to all new and renewing registrants. And it also noted that in considering the process to regulate and oversee privacy proxy service providers, consideration should be given to the following objectives, and I've just taken out the one that relates to this one here, providing clear and unambiguous guidance on the rights and responsibilities of registered name holders and how those should be managed in the privacy proxy environment. And then we also included a link to the existing RAA rights and registrants rights and responsibilities document, which may give you a model of what you may be looking at in this context. And then you'll see as well that several comments have been submitted in relation to this topic, where people have expressed what they may want to see included or discussed in this context, not only from those that responded to the working group survey, but also from the stakeholder group and constituency statements that we've received so far. So that includes a response from the IPC and the NCSG that were specific to this question. If it's helpful, I don't know where we exactly want to start, but what I did as well, I think, before we actually went off to Singapore is in relation to the second part of this question and how this relates to some of the existing policies and where those may intersect with what we're discussing here. I actually put a couple of questions together that the working group may want to look at or think about. And again, I think the question on a broader level is, how high level or how deep into some of these issues does the working group want to go? Because, for example, looking at the renewal policy, there is a requirement that a registrar sends on a regular basis renewal notices to the registrant or the registered name holder. I think one of the questions here is, should there be an obligation, for example, for the privacy proxy servers to relay those messages to the privacy proxy customer, or is that up to the discretion of the privacy proxy service provider? Or is at this stage, the working group just wants to make note that there are certain linkages between the requirements under these policies that may have an effect on privacy and proxy service customers that will need to be factored into the implementation discussion. So again, I think those are some of the broader questions the working group will need to think about as you dive into these questions. So, Graham, I don't know where you want to start, if you just want to maybe run through the comments that have been made and see where working group members, you know, agree or disagree, or whether there are other points people would like to add to that, or how would you like to proceed on this one?
Yeah, maybe the comments is a good place for jumping off. Maybe that will stir people up.
Well, that's the situation.
Would you be so kind as to go through those for us? Did we lose Marika there?
Sorry, Gabe, my line just briefly dropped, so I missed your question.
Oh, I thought that going through the comments is probably a good way to facilitate some discussion, and that it would be good if you would walk us through them.
Okay, great. I'll start with the first one then. So the first one was made by Jim Bykoff, David Heasley, and others from the company. I won't go through all of them. So they're saying basic responsibility of customers should be to not use privacy proxy service to veil intellectual property infringement. Basic right of customers is to have their privacy protected and anonymity maintained for legitimate purposes of free commerce and speech. Privacy and proxy service providers should preserve the privacy of their customers subject to the relay and reveal procedures described in two above. Two above relates to the other question that we'll, I think, be coming to later in our deliberations. Do you want me to run through the other ones as well, or pause at each comment? I see Steve has his hand up. So.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yes, thank you. This is Steve. You know, I think that this response illustrates one of the things we need to focus on here. Obviously, we haven't gotten to the relay and reveal procedures. You know, what would be the minimum standards for relay and reveal procedures for accredited service providers? Once we get to those, once those are in place, then clearly one of the things that both the proxy service provider and the customer should do is, you know, carry out their roles that are defined in that in the relay and reveal procedures. But obviously those are important, but I would suggest we probably put those to one side and focus more on kind of some high-level questions. And I think the first two sentences of this comment kind of go to those. Maybe, I mean, there will be others as well, but I just wanted to say that I think the way that this comment approaches the relay and reveal is the right one, to say once it should certainly be within the rights and responsibilities to conform to those minimum standards, but we should discuss those minimum standards separately. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Do you want to take a crack at suggesting what those minimum standards are?
Well, I'm happy to once we get to that question in our matrix.
Okie doke. So looking at category, sorry, this is Graham Bunton. So if we're looking at category three, it would seem to me it seems like we really actually have three questions there. Rights and responsibilities for registrants, for the people that operate these privacy and proxy services, and then this separate issue about how the existing policies are going to work in. sorry, I'm enjoying Bladel's comment there. So does anybody have thoughts on those sort of three components of that question three? Or should we continue down with the comments? I worry that some of the subject matter is a bit new to the group, and no one's had time to really ponder it yet and develop an opinion. So maybe let's move through those comments some more, and we'll see if anything occurs to anybody.
So this is Marika. So going to the next comment, second comment from Najit Shkrit. Private individual registrants should have the right to protected information that will not be shared without substantial evidence of a breach of contract, including violations of applicable law. privacy and proxy service providers should have clear policies for reveals, unmasking, transfers, and renewals. Two separate forms of transfers may occur. The first would be a transfer of the registrar, which may or may not be the privacy proxy service provider. The second would be the transfer of information from one privacy proxy service provider to another. Both forms of transfers should occur without revealing registrant data. If a registrant has pending allegations or violations against them, the domain and or privacy proxy service should not be transferable until the claims are resolved.
James, please go ahead. James, are you on mute? Oh, he's dialing in. Kathy, would you like to go ahead while James dials in?
Well, I would have wanted to hear what James said first, but okay. Hello, everybody. Grim, thanks for moderating this. Let's see. It just seems that I'm looking forward to the discussion of all the comments, and I know we're going to get to NCSGs later. I think I'm supporting Steve on this a little bit, which is that I think we're delving into the details early on, whereas some of the big picture issues I think may be what Category B, Question 3, should be addressing, kind of big picture due process. And I'm not sure how we go from looking at the weeds and the details to looking at the higher level, but I just wanted to kind of signal everybody that one of the issues, when we get to the NCSG comments later on, will be how we create due process in this very special situation of not just registrants, but registrants who are proxy privacy customers and who have sought that extra level of protection. So I'm not sure how we weave it all together, but I thought I'd give that preview of coming attraction. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, perhaps what we do is to spur some discussion to skip down to the NCSG, but let's hear from Michele first.
Has James managed to dial in? If so, he wins.
I'm here.
James wins. Go on, James. Go on.
Yeah, I just want to lend my one-star endorsement review of the audio features of Adobe Connect, so if we can pass that along to staff, that'd be great. So I missed part of Kathy's statement, although I seem to be on board with what I did here. But I just wanted to point out the challenges that are associated with what we're talking about here. And I wanted to lend support for the idea that the discretion of the service provider should probably be preserved rather than attempting to create burdensome and ultimately not very valuable standards in this regard. And let's just look, for example, at transfers. In an era of thin registries, it would be extraordinarily difficult to facilitate a transfer of a domain name that is engaging in one registrar's affiliated privacy or proxy service and have it arrive at the gaining registrar also protected by their affiliated and different privacy and proxy service with no exposure of the underlying customer information and yet somehow have that be verified by the gaining registrar. I think that's starts to look like the old cup and balls magic trick a little bit, and finding the actual contact data. And one of the selling points of these privacy and proxy services, at least for a number of our customers, is the fact that it does offer an extra layer of protection against invalid domain name transfers like hijacking. So I think that allowing just the different providers to have some degree of discretion here in how they implement their services, I think would probably be the simplest path through some of the spider web that we'll uncover here. So that was my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Michele?
Hi. Right. Well, okay, private individual registrants, well, one could argue that private individual registrants' rights are being violated by ICANN on a daily basis, since ICANN's contracts are basically illegal under European law, since they force private registrants to reveal all their data. with no right to any level of protection, which I would view as being completely illegal. But since ICANN Legal doesn't understand EU law, I'm kind of bashing my head against the wall. Specifically with respect to this thing around the transfers, while I can understand where the guys from LegitScript are coming from on this, while that might work for a proxy, you couldn't deny a transfer to a registrant through some other third-party service. I don't see how that would work with the IRTP. So, I mean, if you want to make changes to the IRTP, that's going to trigger something completely different. Thanks.
Thank you, Michele. Marika?
And this is Marika, and I think that was one of the questions I had as well. I identified talking about transfers and trying to get some clarification from James. I think he's trying to say that there should be discretion for registrars to either impose or not impose specific requirements when it comes to transfers. But in looking at some of the terms and conditions as part of the sampling exercise we did, there was, for example, I think one service provider that said that there cannot be a transfer of a registration if the name is protected by privacy or proxy or held as a privacy proxy registration. At that moment, the information would need to be revealed in order to actually enact the transfer, as that information is needed for the registrar indeed to confirm whether they're dealing with the registrar and prevent a legitimate transfer. So my question is actually indeed, is that something that should be specified or clarified, or did I understand James correctly that it should just be noted that there should be discretion for registrars and privacy proxy services to require or not require certain things to happen in relation to, for example, transfers?
Graham, can I respond perhaps to clear up?
Please, James.
Okay, so thank you, Marika. And yes, I think it's specifically with our service, we say very clearly that as long as the service is in force, it will, on behalf of the underlying customer, reject any transfer requests. And this is done primarily for security reasons, and we advise these customers that if they do wish to transfer the name, that their first step would be to voluntarily cancel the privacy service prior to initiating the transfer. So I think that is one way to do it. I'm certainly open to the idea that other registrars may have come up with other methods or other approaches. I think where it gets tricky is that the handoff between registrars, particularly in an era of where there are still thin registries, would create a number of problems if we want to, I'm going to LegitScript's comment here about transferring from one privacy service to another in between registrars without any exposure of the customer's underlying data. I think that's where it gets very tricky. So right now, unfortunately, privacy proxy services are tied to the registrar, and that changing registrar means changing the privacy proxy service. That may not be the case in the future, so that's why I think discretion is encouraged here to allow the commercial providers to kind of address and solve some of these problems.
Thank you, James. Before I move on to Justin, I'm sorry, Graham Bunton saying that TUCAS also explicitly states that in order to transfer a domain that the privacy service needs to be disabled, and discretion would be extremely useful in that too. Justin?
Hi, this is Justin Macy from LegitScript. I just wanted to, I guess, couch the comment that we've submitted suggesting that we think if someone's paying for a privacy or proxy service, it's best if they can get the most of it. If transfers are not technically feasible to do that in that situation, we understand that. We just want to make sure that whatever options are feasible, the registrant could receive.
Thank you, Justin. Michele?
I'm going to be really boring. I'm going to do a Me Too comment. We have run into a lot of issues with inbound transfers where the registrant has some kind of who is privacy or proxy enabled with the losing registrar. So we generally tell them that they need to remove it in order to do the transfer, because more often than not, it'll fail miserably otherwise. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Michele. So it sounds like we have some agreement on how transfer policy should work there. Unless there's anything else specifically on transfers, perhaps we do move down to the NCSG comment that Kathy was talking about, because I think that might get us back up to a sort of higher level around rights and responsibilities that's worth tackling. Marika, could you walk us through that comment, please?
Sure. This is Marika, and I'm happy to read out the comment, but I'm sure as Amma or Kathy or any other representatives from the NCSG will hopefully clarify if there are any questions or further additions that need to be made. So customers registrants should have the rights and responsibilities as set out in their agreements with their proxy or privacy service providers. They should have the rights and protections of privacy and due process as afforded by national laws and incorporated into the service provider's contract. In relation to access, NCSG submits that in the GTLD system, privacy proxy is needed and legitimate service for non-commercial organizations, including public interest groups, religious groups, educational organizations, charities, and hobby groups, as well as individuals, entrepreneurs, and small businesses. We would like to see that right of access protected and ensured. In relation to due process, the NCSG submits that the privacy proxy customer should be assured of the right to engage in a dialogue with the proxy privacy service provider before contact data is released or published when legally allowed, and given the opportunity to show if the request for contact data is intended to harm, harass, damage competition, or diminish freedom of expression or assembly rights. Further, the NCSG comments discuss, as reflected in the current template, the importance of allowing registrars to follow their national laws and practices and incorporate the privacy data protection and due process of their laws into their privacy proxy contracts with customers. What is illegal in one country is not illegal in another country, be it speech activities, religious activities, political activities, or even comparative advertising, in which a particular product or service specifically mentions a competitor by name for the express purpose of showing why the competitor is inferior to the product naming it. And these robust differences must be taken into account when drafting a general set of accreditation principles for rights and responsibilities of registrants.
Thank you, Marika. Oh, there we go. Kathy, you just beat Steve, so if you'd be so kind.
Okay. Thank you, Marika, for reading all of that. Appreciate it. And so this is kind of the big picture overview, which is what types of balance should we be building into the system at a big level, one that still preserves, of course, the proxy privacy service provider's discretion and response to national law. And so one of the things, that there's a lot here, let me highlight one, which is this right of response before the data is disclosed. This is something we see in the United States with chat room identities, for example. Just because someone alleges someone's doing something illegal doesn't mean that the person, the chat room, the person with the not yet revealed chat room identity doesn't have a response. And now the courts require that that response be heard before the identity is disclosed. So in this case, you know, if someone's really, you know, divorce attorneys go after a lot of information, including the location of where the undisclosed spouse is. And one can see proxy privacy service providers being used for this, as well as for a range of disclosures on public interest groups and other types of things. So, you know, an outreach, you know, if it's an ongoing legal investigation, there may be limits to this. But otherwise, a quick outreach to the customer, the registrant, If it's within the proxy privacy service provider's rules to do so, to say, hey, you know, you have a response here, something we should know ahead of time, might be an easy way to find out if harassment is really the intent, or if there's something, you know, underlying that the proxy privacy service provider wouldn't know that they should know before the identity is revealed. So let me just share that as one highlight of the long comments that we provided. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve Metalitz. Actually, I agree with Kathy on a number of the points here, substantively, as far as, for example, various registrants should have access to privacy and proxy services, and as you'll see in our responses, to the IPC responses to the questionnaire, that we're interested in discussing the circumstances under which there would be this type of dialogue that she's talking about. In the reveal situation, but I think this gets back to the point actually I think Kathy made earlier, that those are specific questions that we'll be getting to farther along. Specifically, if the organization is still the same as it was, this would be category 5, question 1 for reveal, category B, question 5 and 6. For 4, 5, and 6, so as far as whether commercial organizations or non-commercial organizations should have access to privacy and proxy services. So we're about to get to some of these questions as we move through. I think at this point, what we're focusing on here, aside from the specific questions about transfer and so forth, and renewals, I think what we're looking for here are kind of high-level points, and I would include there a point that was made in the previous comment that was looked at from the LegitScript people, that the policies regarding reveal and relay ought to be clearly stated in the agreement that the customer enters into with the privacy and proxy service. Down the road, there will be some minimum standards for that. There will be some discretion in some areas, but I think the point I'm focusing on here is that the customer ought to know what those policies are at the time he or she or it signs up for this service, and they ought to be clearly stated. I think that's kind of the gist of what this question B3 gets to, and then, as I said, B4, 5, and 6 get to who is eligible to participate in a privacy or proxy service. Questions D gets to the relay situation. Questions under E gets to the reveal situation. So, and we will get to those, I hope, soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. James?
Hi, thanks. James speaking. I want to lend my support for Steve's statement there about making sure that rather than drawing increasingly smaller boxes for service providers to operate in, that we provide them some degree of discretion, however, require that their policies and procedures are clearly disclosed, and that customers of these services have some awareness before they enter into these agreements what their service is offering and how they will respond to these situations. I wanted to address one point that Kathy raised, and I think that was made in the comment, which was this idea of whether or not and I want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly, is whether or not a registrant or a customer has has visibility to whether or not others are making requests of the service provider as to their identity. And I just want to point out that may not always be feasible, depending upon the jurisdiction of the service provider and whether or not they have, various court orders or law enforcement actions that are precluding them from disclosing the details of an ongoing investigation. So I think that might vary from jurisdiction, between jurisdictions, and it might be one reason why a privacy service in one area might be more desirable than a privacy service based in another area. So I just wanted to say that, I would caution against trying to build rules regarding that into any kind of policy or accreditation program, because it might set it on a collision course with local law.
Thank you, James. This is Graham. That's an interesting point. So then there's a differentiation in services between regions, and I suppose when someone's going through the terms and services of what they're agreeing to, that piece may or may not be in there, depending on where the privacy and proxy service is located. Interesting. Michele?
Hi. Who am I agreeing with and who am I disagreeing with? I think I'll just disagree with everybody because that's easier. No, but jokes aside. I think being overly prescriptive about what service providers need to offer is going to be problematic. I think the concept of publishing clearly on their websites, in their terms of service, et cetera, what they will and won't do is one thing, but mandating all these different things is a very, very bad thing. You know, if Kathy wants to use a privacy service, then I'm sure she's going to choose one that will offer the kind of services she wants to have. However, that service is going to cost. So let free market forces decide. If I want to offer a very, very light service where I will reveal or relay very easily, and do so and just provide that service for practically nothing, then that should be my choice, and it should be their choice when they're entering into it. So I would be wary of mandating that all privacy proxy service providers need to do X, Y, and Z. And also, as well, of course, there are local law things to bear in mind as to what you can and cannot do depending on where you're set up. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele. That's also a good point, that we need to leave room for different levels within the market. Or perhaps we need to leave that room. Kathy?
Sorry to disappoint everybody, but I agree completely with James and Michele.
Oh.
with 2 points. So let me, you know, for James, it's actually in her comments, and I wanted to point out that the legal aspects of the reveal are actually very important. So obviously, if there's an ongoing criminal investigation, there may be local law or national law that precludes any sort of disclosure. But what one of NCSG's kind of broad issues here is not precluding creative solutions, not precluding unusual ways that proxy privacy servicers might now and in the future want to operate. So in the past, one of the things we've talked about is a takedown rather than a reveal, leaving open that possibility, that kind of creative solution for proxy privacy service providers. So to Michele's point that service providers should have lots of options, and the thin and the thick and the all services and the not all services, one service that I'd like to see us not preclude among many is the proxy privacy services who are willing to do more due process, willing to do more of an exchange with the registrant before revealing the information. I think we really should leave open the opportunity for that. It will be a higher cost service, but it will be one that some will seek. And so just kind of leaving, not precluding anything, so that this point that we're working on, this question 3, would run not just to information and transparency, but also that opportunity for proxy privacy service providers to go farther and thicker, or to go thinner and more expedited and streamlined with their services. So I think we're merging towards agreement. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Michele?
Just coming back on Kathy a little bit. Good. Nice to hear that there is sanity. Yay. Woo. The other thing as well is that I think a lot of the positive kind of vibes we can all agree on are when we're working on the basis that the users of the services aren't doing anything wrong. You know, that terrible thing, that, you know, presumption of innocence concept, which seems to be enshrined in a lot of legal systems. The reason why I'm a bit cautious and wary about some of this stuff, of course, is that if you work on the basis that everybody is innocent and provide wonderfully high levels of protection, what the hell do you do when you have a scumbag that you need to to act against quickly. So I mean, there has to be a balance there somewhere. So that, you know, for example, if random blogger wants to write about something, that's fine. But the fake farmer peddler, I should be able to pull him down really, really quickly, because otherwise I'm going to be inundated with emails from LegitScript. So I'm not sure exactly how the hell to solve that, but you know, the balance has to be reasonable. Has to be, you know, I think James mentioned in the comments something about what should he say? What was that choice of words? It was a very Jamesian way of putting things. Risk tolerance. There you go. And I think it's not just a matter of risk tolerance. I think there's, you know, the thing is that protecting Kathy's right to free speech should not be put on the same level as protecting, quote unquote, a criminal's right to free speech, because I really don't see them as having a right to free speech. Thanks.
Thank you, Michele. What I think you're getting at there is how do we find the balance between the terms of service that the privacy and proxy operator is providing and the minimum standards for the privacy and proxy services as a whole. And that'll be interesting, I think, as we explore this question to figure out what that balance is, because, you know, as a registrar, we often find that there are bad actors doing things, and we need to be able to act on those domains while also having this strong desire to protect registrants. Kathy?
Just a quick follow-up to Michele, and to everyone, that I think this idea of the presumption of innocence is a really good one, that the presumption that using a proxy privacy service is not in and of itself a showing of wrongdoing, I would love to see that codified as a finding, as a broadcast from this working group, that as a declaration. I think that would be a great step in and of itself and a great start for this question. Again, no presumption of, you know, that presumption of innocence that using a proxy privacy service is not a problem in and of itself. Someone will come up with a more eloquent way to say that. But regarding the violation of criminal law, let me just again raise the issue that we raised in the in our comments that are now codified as part of this, that what is criminal law in one country is not criminal law in another country, and I violate Chinese criminal law all the time, and that's part of the problem, is that the requests are going to be coming, the requests to proxy privacy service providers are going to be coming from across national borders and from countries that bar the speech that others are saying that's completely legal in the country that they're operating in the country that the registrar and the proxy privacy service provider they choose are operating. And I was wondering if we could have a bit of discussion on that. I know there's a lot more to be coming on this, but if we could have a bit of discussion on that.
Thanks, Kathy. I wonder what Michele has to say on that.
Michele's going to agree with Kathy. But he's also going to kind of shorten this slightly. As an Irish company, we are not going to pay attention to stuff coming from law enforcement agencies outside the Irish state. It's very simple. If you are a law enforcement agency or quasi-governmental agency or whatever the hell, from Canada or the US or China or wherever, you are going to have to go via the Irish, by Irish law enforcement if you want to get to us. I'm not going to act on anything from anybody else. I've no idea how other registrars would deal with these kind of things, but that's our way of dealing with things.
Thanks, Michele. I think that's easier the smaller and more local your registrar business is. I think things get a little bit...
I disagree with you there, Graham. That's a matter of law. It's not a matter of size.
Well, if you're operating in an awful lot of jurisdictions and you have an awful lot of customers in a lot of jurisdictions, then law enforcement can make it difficult for you, regardless of where you're physically located. Steve?
Yeah, but
sorry, you can respond if you care. Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I was just going to respond to Kathy's comment. And again, I think we'll be getting into this when we get to Section E. I don't think that the issue is necessarily coextensive with what's legal or illegal in one country or another. I mean, a lot of what goes on today involves conduct that may not be illegal, but that people consider to be damaging to networks and so forth. A lot of that conduct, frankly, is not illegal, or at least there's not an international legal standard about it. On the other hand, there are areas such as intellectual property where there's a very high degree of harmonization among the laws of most countries, and therefore the problem that Kathy cites, which is a very real problem, is less likely to occur there. I think the challenge is going to be to try to figure out, again, what are the minimum standards? Under what circumstances should the provider be acting quickly based on what evidence to either reveal or publish or whatever the action is that we're talking about? And under what circumstances should they have discretion? Because, as I said in the chat, I think these standards should be minimum standards. They shouldn't, and there should be some flexibility given to service providers. Another example of that is with regard to the question I think is coming up next, which is whether these services should be restricted to individuals or to non-commercial operations and so forth. I happen to think they shouldn't be, and that should be the minimum standard. On the other hand, if a particular service provider, and I think we've already heard about some that operate this way, wants to say you can't register a domain name for commercial purposes and also put it in our proxy or privacy service, I think they should be free to do that. So I think there it is important to set minimum standards and then let service providers take whatever path they wish beyond those. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. If I maybe can try to recap what I think I've heard, and we'll try to incorporate in a first draft of a preliminary conclusion here, is I think that there seems to be agreement that, you know, at a minimum, privacy proxy service should be required to communicate information on the practices they have for relay, reveal, and then the other requirements in their terms of service that are communicated to the registrant. That there are probably minimum standards that may apply, but those will need to be further discussed as the working group goes through some of the other questions that will come to later down the road. I think I also had the notice of, you know, there should be a presumption that, you know, use of privacy proxy services is not a proof of guilt or a bad thing. It should be one of the service options that registrants have. And I think, again, I think the main thing here is just to know that we'll probably come back to this question once we have worked through some of the other questions, I think, that Steve specifically called out, which may determine that there are certain minimum requirements that would apply that then will be brought back into this conversation. So I think I sort of noted down, and if I've missed something, and again, you know, I'll of course try to capture that as well in the working group response and the notes that I took down, and as well in the draft preliminary conclusion for this topic. So if there's anything that needs to be added, of course, you have an opportunity there as well. And I'm wondering if we then can still maybe turn to some of the specific questions in relation to the existing policies, or whether you want prefer to park that for now. And as I said, I'm happy as well to share that email again to the mailing list to give people a little bit more time to think about whether we need to go into more detail into some of those questions, or whether for now we can park that and come back to that at a later stage.
Thank you very much, Marika. I wonder if people have had enough heads up to actually look into some of those policies we might be touching here. It also strikes me that we as a working group seem to do better when we have more concrete, focused questions to work at, and then come back to the bigger ones once we've got a better sense. So it could be that we find ourselves moving on here relatively quickly. Kathy?
Great. Grim, my recommendation is that we don't quite leave this one yet because we didn't give much notice to others who aren't on the call right now who may have something to add. So once it's all written up, I think our next call should revisit this a little bit and give people who weren't here a chance to add their thoughts and to reflect on the thoughts that we had. I also posted a fourth point from Erika's consideration about the deference to national law. But I think this has been a great discussion. So thanks. That's my thought, is that we let others take a look at what we're working on.
Absolutely. I certainly don't want to shut down any conversation. Steve?
Yeah, this is Steve. I agree with Kathy on the point that since this really wasn't even in the advance agenda, we need to leave it open. I also want to come back to Marika's point about transfer, renewal, and Pedner. And I just wonder what the best way going forward would be to be able to address those, because we've had a little discussion about transfer earlier today, but haven't really gone into these other topics. So I wonder if there is some type of primer or link or something that the staff could circulate prior to the next meeting so that we know what those policies are. And I would certainly very much welcome the views of the registrars that are actually dealing with these issues now about what areas they see as potential issues for the interface between proxy and privacy registrations and those policies. I think that would be helpful. Again, as you said, Graham, the more concrete we questions we have, I think the faster we can make some progress on these. So for our continuing, if we're going to continue discussing B3, I would encourage the staff to do that. And I see that you're putting up something that maybe you already have done that, Marika. But if so, then let's make sure people are aware of that. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is Marika, if I may respond. So this is Marika. So indeed, what I put up on the screen is actually an email I did circulate on the 17th of March, because having had a look at the policies, you know, the language themselves is referenced as well in the template, and if a more detailed overview of those is needed or helpful, we can definitely plan for that as well. But looking at those, at the policies, I actually already tried to draw out some of the specific questions that I think may be relevant to our conversation, or you know, where those policies intersect with the privacy proxy registration. But as you said, Steve, as well, I think this is specifically where input from registrars will be very helpful, because I think they probably have a very clear view of where there may be potential conflict or where we do need to preview or anticipate that certain things may need to be addressed either as part of the working group discussion or possibly just as a flag, so that it's not forgotten as part of implementation, that a clear link is made between, you know, what specific requirements are for privacy proxy service providers in relation to those policies if certain exceptions or differences are needed, you know, taking into account what we come up as well as part of our conversations here. So, you know, as I said, it can circulate this email. If you think that anything more specific is needed or helpful, we can definitely do that as well. And, you know, hopefully we can get some discussion going on the mailing list in relation to these topics as such.
Thanks, Marika. It could be that we need to recirculate that. It was awfully close to the Singapore meeting, and perhaps people have missed it. Speaking of hearing from registrars, James?
Hi, Graham. James speaking. I think the conversation may have moved a little bit beyond what I was going to add there to Steve's question, but Pedner has since become the ERRP, so those are not, just for clarity, those are not separate policies. Those are now one and the same. But I think that, you know, it goes back to the nature of the service that the service provider is offering, and how they intend to support these products, these policies, or if they have set policies in their terms of service that will govern how they respond on behalf of their customer. And I'm thinking specifically now of proxies versus privacy services, but I think it goes back to what Steve was saying earlier about making sure that these that their requirements are sound as far as disclosure of how it's going to work making sure that the support resources are there and making sure that the customer knows exactly what they're signing up for and how to how to change those services to get what they want in terms of renewals or transfers. So with that, I'll zip it on this topic. Thanks.
Thanks, James. We're almost to the top of the hour, so let's hear from Steve, and then we'll wrap this up.
Yeah, this is Steve Metalitz. Just to say that I think this memo will be very helpful that's on the screen now, and I share the hope that some of the registrar members will be able to shed light on how these issues are currently handled and whether or not these need to be factored into the WG working group recommendations. So I'd encourage registrars to respond to those bullets during the week ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. So I think that's just about it for us today. I think we've got some direction on where we're going to go next week, which is we're going to continue on this Category B question 3, let people respond to the discussion we've had today. We're going to look at these specific policies, and hopefully we'll get some registrars in there to respond. Unless there's anything else, I think that's it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and bearing with my Mary's got a comment. Go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Graham. Just real quick, and not so much for next week, but next steps, if working group members could look at the EWG survey results, and as I posted in the chat, to the extent that there are findings or statements there that you or your constituencies think would be useful to either discuss as a working group or to fit in under one or more of the charter questions, it would be very helpful to point that out either on the list or via email to us so that we can prepare something for the working group if necessary.
Thanks, Mary. Kathy's saying in the chat that she's looking for a longer briefing on transfer policy issues. Would you be looking for that from staff or from registrar experience, Kathy?
I don't want to volunteer anybody for anything, but to the extent that we're dealing, that we may be dealing with the nuts and bolts of the transfer policy, would it be possible to have a really short briefing at the beginning of the next session? Would that be useful to others?
I think Rick is about to respond.
Yeah, this is Rick. We actually have, I think, the quarter session that James gave, I think, to the IRTP working groups. I can already share that, and I'm hoping, I'm hoping that maybe he will be able want to do the same thing on the start of the call, because I think he probably already has the slides and has done it before. So I don't know, James, if you'd be willing. And as I said, I can already share the recording, so those that already want to do homework beforehand and come with a very tough question can do for them as well.
That sounds great.
Okay.
great. Thank you, Marika. James may or may not be willing to talk to it, but we certainly have that so we can refer to it. All right. That's it. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll
Graham,
see you in a week.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Tim, if you could stop the recordings, please.